first or second time, that part of our worshiping fellowship today, we hope that you'll feel the warmth of our welcome and that you'll come worship with us as often as you can. Let me refer you to your handouts and just hit the high points of some stuff that's going on. And our youth pastor, Crystal, went on a youth retreat this weekend. They'll be traveling home later on today. Keep them in your prayers. Also, as you know, Holy Week is coming up. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And so we'll, of course, have worship as usual. And then there will be no Wednesday night's Soul Food Cafe either this Wednesday or next Wednesday. This week because of spring break, and next week because that had already been planned because it's Holy Week. On Thursday, we will be having next Thursday a combination Holy Thursday tenebrae service here in this room. We hope you'll be a part of that at 6:30. Then on Easter Sunday, we'll have our regular sunrise service at 6:30. Regular worship at 10:15. Jay Griffin will be doing the sunrise service. Hope that you'll come and be a part of all these special worship opportunities. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Any other announcements? Join me as we pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Come today and speak to us, challenge us, comfort us. Open our eyes and hearts and minds to your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we move into our prayer time, you may want to suggest some folks for prayer. Feel free to call their names or situations out, and we'll pray with you. Any prayer concerns? Emily? Yes, Tom? I'm sorry? Ron? I'm sorry. Okay. The one. Shayla. And what was the other one? Aiden. Shayla and Aiden. Ma'am. You're going to speak louder. Matt. Yeah. Scott. Okay. Join me as we pray. And at the end of the prayer, we'll conclude our prayer time with the Lord's Prayer. And if you need the help with the words, they'll be up on the screen. Let us put aside from our minds any worry that we brought with us into this service. Let's put on hold just for a bit all that we have to do later on today and this week. Let's just be fully present in the here and now and receive the power that we need to live our lives as disciples of Jesus. Heavenly Father, with the psalmist of old, we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. We do bless your holy name today, and we praise you, Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for all that you've done for us. Father, we're truly sorry that we ourselves do things that separate us from you and each other. And if we haven't already, we ask you to forgive us for our sins. Help us to remember them and to call them by name so that we might be fully forgiven. Forgive us for at times being not loving, for doing things that don't reflect our relationship with you, for saying things that we wish we hadn't. Lord, thank you that the New Testament reminds us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to believe that today, Lord, and to receive your forgiveness. Thank you. Lord, we join our prayers in praying for all the things in this world that call us to prayer. The war in Ukraine, world events in different parts of the world, issues within the United States that call us to prayer, local issues, issues in our jobs and in our homes. We especially today call out and remember and ask for your blessings and your healing power for Emily and Tom and Ron and Dwayne and Shayla and Aiden and Matt and Scott and all the other unspoken concerns for people that we love, that we're concerned about. Bless them, we pray. Father, we pray for our church as we continue to seek your will regarding our congregation. Thank you for your faithfulness in the past and for the assurance of your faithfulness going forward. Father, finally, we pray for ourselves. We come to church each Sunday not because we feel like we're better than people that don't come, or because we have all the answers and that nobody else does. No, we come because of our need to know you, to experience you, and to walk with you. So Lord, through all the music today and the prayers, the scripture, and the message, may all we say and do be pleasing to you and beneficial to your people who have gathered this day. We offer ourselves, we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples long ago and teaches his disciples today to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The ushers are going to come and receive our morning offering. Thank you for giving to Lakeview, allowing us to be in mission and ministry in our community and in our world. Thank you. This morning's scripture is found in the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 14. What takes place before chapter 14 is, and I really recommend that you read this, the opening chapters of Exodus later on today to kind of give the context of what we're talking about this morning. The book of Exodus, of course, is about the exodus of the leaving of the Israelite people, the Hebrew people, from Egyptian captivity where they had been over 400 years. You remember their time in Egypt started well enough when Joseph went there as the prime minister to the Pharaoh. But Joseph died and the years passed and the Hebrew people grew as a subset of the Egyptian country and they became slaves to the Egyptians. And so God appears out of a burning bush to Moses in chapter 3 and tells him that he's the one that God has chosen to lead the people to this new land, this land that he is promising them. Thus we call it the promised land. And so Moses is a reluctant person. He brings up every excuse known to mankind of why God has surely chosen the wrong person. But God persists and tells Moses that if he will just obey and do what he says, that God will lead him and that he'll get the job done. And so God then has to convince the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, that the time has come for these Israelite people to leave his country. And if you think the Egyptian Pharaoh was going to be easily persuaded to give up a million slaves, well, then you got another thing coming, because he didn't. And so God sends these plagues upon the Egyptian people, not to be unkind, but to convince the Pharaoh that God means business and that the Hebrew people, one way or the other, are going to leave Egypt. And so they eventually leave. And this is what happens in chapter 14 once they've gotten out of Egypt. Verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Reading this week, I thought about Lou Holtz. Remember Lou Holtz? Longtime coach of Notre Dame many years ago, and later became a sports announcer, football broadcaster, who once wrote, or once said in a speech, "I know that God doesn't allow more trouble to come our way than we can handle, but sometimes I think he overestimates my ability. You know, we've probably all felt that sometimes. This is the way Moses and the people of Israel felt when they were caught between the Red Sea, the obstacle between them and the Promised Land, between going forward, and then on the other side, Pharaoh's powerful army. They were sort of caught in this unholy sandwich between these two opposite forces. As I mentioned earlier, these had been an action-packed few months for Moses as God had called him to lead the Israelites. You remember how thrilled Moses was. He came up with so many excuses, but God was persistent. Finally, reluctantly, Moses agreed, and he went forward, not at all sure what it all meant or how it was all going to turn out. Isn't that where faith always comes in? I mean, you have enough to kind of see a little bit, but you don't know. You just don't know. And so you go with the little bit you do have, and you put your faith in God, and you believe the best. And that's what Moses did as he convinced the Israelites that they were leaving Egypt. And of course, once they finally got out of Egypt, the Hebrew people were ecstatic. They had lived for so long in Egyptian captivity. There was great rejoicing as they left. We're told that there were 600,000 men, not even counting the women, the children, the livestock. I mean, it was quite a procession as they left, journeying toward the Promised Land. But their joy was very short-lived. If they expected the king of Egypt to give up all these slaves without a fight, they were mistaken. As the Hebrews finally almost cleared the Egyptian space on the Egyptian side of the Red Sea, they look back and they see this huge cloud of dust, and they know what it is. That is the army, the chariots, the horses, the foot soldiers of the Egyptian army coming for them. And so this, of course, poses a large problem. What in the world are they going to do? As you read through the lines in this story, you can't help but see some of the same ways that they responded to this huge challenge is the way that we respond when we're facing challenges in our life, big and small. And I want to mention some of those this morning. The first thing they said, and that we sometimes say, is when the going gets kind of challenging, let's go back to where we used to be. Let's just forget all this talk about leaving Egypt. Let's go back to where we were. They shout at Moses, "What have you done to us? Why did you bring us out here?" Although they had been miserable for 400 years, they even have the audacity to alter history and say, "We were so happy back there. They were so kind to us." And that's what we do when we face a challenge, isn't it? We make the past look really better than it was in order to confirm a new reality. The longtime consultant named Lyle Schaller once wrote, "What is the single most powerful influence that we face when we make decisions?" And he answered it by saying, it's always the past. What did we used to do? Why do we do that? The past, whether it's good or the past was bad, it's constantly a powerful influence on all of our lives when we make decisions. It makes sense because the past is all that we know as a point of reference. It's familiar territory. There's always that temptation, as I mentioned, to idealize the past, as Israel did. It wasn't so bad. Let's go back there. But the time had come for them to move forward. Here's another response that we sometimes make and that they made. Let's run away and hide. Let's just deny that this whole thing is even happening. And of course, that is as old as Adam and Eve, isn't it? Adam and Eve, when God appeared in the garden after the fall, we're told that they tried to hide from God as if we can. You know, it doesn't work very well for us to stick our head in the sand because you just can't hide from trouble. You have to face it when it comes. There's a story told about a Union soldier in the Civil War that was fighting in the Battle of Shiloh, and he'd been wounded, and the captain of his regiment came up to him and said, "Soldier, give me your gun and go to the rear." And the private said, "Yes, sir," and started off to the south. There was fighting there. He turned to a different direction. There was fighting there. He turned in a different direction and went down a few hundred yards, and there was fighting there. He finally ran back up to his captain, and he said, "Captain, give me my gun. There ain't no rear in this battle." And we feel that way sometimes. There's just nowhere to turn, nowhere to hide. And so we have to face it for better or worse. Another response they made and that we sometimes make is, let's feel sorry for ourselves. Israel quickly gave in to their own pity party. Poor us. Why us? We don't deserve this. You know, when we face difficulty in life, it is always the easiest thing to do to feel sorry for ourselves. But in doing so, when we give in to that, it can actually keep us from finding a better solution. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution a few years ago had this story about a young mother who had a 2-year-old child, and she was trying to give her 2-year-old child some liquid medicine, and the child wouldn't take it. Every time she'd put it to his mouth, he'd swat it away. And finally, she was so frustrated that she called to her mother who was there, the child's grandmother, "I'm going to the bedroom. I've had enough of this." And she went and was just so frustrated with not being able to give this medicine to her child. A little time passed and she heard laughter in the kitchen. And she went out to see what was going on. And there she saw her mother, who had put the medicine along with some orange juice into a water gun. And she was there squirting that into the little child's mouth, and he was loving it, and he was taking it. You know, sometimes a different perspective on things is all we need to move us beyond feeling sorry for ourselves. There's always a better solution, somehow, somewhere, if we will not give in to pity parties. And then another way they responded and that we can respond is, and it's so natural and normal, is let's find somebody to blame for this. Let's find somebody to blame for this. Of course, the Israelites turned on Moses. This is your fault. If you hadn't brought us out here, we wouldn't be facing this problem. Why did we ever listen to you? When things don't go the way we plan, it is the easiest thing in the world to look for somebody to blame, isn't it? Back to Adam and Eve, you remember? Adam blames God. The woman that you gave me caused me to do this. Eve, she blames the serpent. Round and round, looking for somebody else to blame rather than just dealing with the reality of the situation. My wife Marcia and I have been involved, some of you know, in the recovery community for a long time. One of our children struggled with addiction for a period in his life, and we got to know all about recovery. We ourselves were very active in Al-Anon for several years. It was a lifesaver. But we started working on Thursday nights about 8 years ago. I say working, we just volunteer. We go to this halfway house in Bessemer every Thursday night, and we, along with a few other people, provide a home-cooked meal for the 50 or so people that live 24/7 in this recovery home, this halfway house. And over the years, of course, and every Thursday, there's always new faces in there. This particular recovery house is called ALR, that stands for Any Length Resources. And they have a high bar. I mean, they're tested for drugs every day when they come in. If you mess up and you use or drink, you know, you forfeited your right to be there. You have to hit the road. It's very well run, and it's been very successful. They have a very high recovery rate, which is about 70%, which is unheard of in a halfway house. And so I have watched, we've watched these people come, and when they come, almost all of them are caught up in this destructive cycle of drugs or alcohol that has been a part of their lives for a long time. It's all they've known. Many of them, not all for sure, come out of alcoholic homes or homes where their parents had abused drugs. And almost all of them, as they come in blaming other people for their problems. They blame their past. They blame their parents. They blame their wife. They blame their children. They blame, the list is so long. But if they stay with the program over time, that narrative changes from blaming people for their problems to beginning to take responsibility for their problems. You know, it really is true that we may or may not be responsible for the bad things that happen to us, but we are definitely responsible for how we respond to them. We have all the control in the world in our response to even the bad things that happen to us. It's an easy one. Let's find someone else to blame. But it's a dead end as well. And then, thank God, there's another response. And it's the best one. It's the healthy one. It's the good one. And that is, let's go forward trusting God. That is eventually where they got to. In the midst of all of this outbreak and fear going on, all this chaos, Moses stands up and says to the Israelites, hey, I don't know what's going to happen, but God's with us. Don't be afraid. God didn't bring us this far to just leave us on our own. He's going to make a way. I know we're surrounded by the Red Sea on one hand and this army on the other. Something good's going to happen. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring today. In wonder of wonders, God says to Moses, raise your what? Rod. Raise your rod. And as he does, as we all remember, if we saw the movie made by Cecil DeMille called The Ten Commandments, all that jello in the movie, the Red Sea parts. It opens. And the Israelites walk through it safely. All of the kids, all the families, all the livestock. Do y'all believe that really happened?
Yeah,
I do. I do. I can't explain it. It's, far as we know, never happened before. But if you took all the miracles that appear in the Bible out of the Bible would be a whole lot smaller than it is, because we serve an awesome God. This was the time for them to stand tall and to be strong. And they were. Moses did not have all the answers. He did not know what he was going to do. But as he took one step in faith, then the other step became obvious. Isn't that how faith is? You know, it's like having a little small wattage flashlight in a dark night. You don't have to have one that shows 100 yards out there. All you got to have is one that just shows 2 or 3 steps ahead. And as you take steps, within the path becomes brighter as you walk. You know, this was the first of many catastrophes the Israelites would face on the journey to the promised land. This was a big one, but it wasn't the only one. They had 40 more long years to go before they actually got to where they were going. There were all these unfriendly peoples that did not want them to succeed or to live, because the Israelites were going to occupy where they lived. There would be battles fought. There would be people that died along the way. There would be huge challenges. But as you read the book of Exodus, you find that as they turned in faith to God, God did what God always does. He comes through in unexpected ways. Ways that we can never dream or imagine. God is worthy of our trust. As Moses and the Israelites discovered, He will stand beside us and walk with us through whatever problem we have that we're facing if we trust Him. If you believe that, would you say amen? Amen. I've invited Jay Griffin to come up and share with us about next steps for our church. If you've attended Lakeview at all for any time, you know that we're facing some challenges here of our own. We have a small, I assembled a small advisory committee to help me think through all of this. They have been outstanding. And we elected Jay to come up and speak for us to you. As Jay will mention, there will be more questions that you have. And we'll deal with those questions in the coming weeks. And nobody's trying to hide anything. We want to be totally honest. There's some of the things we don't know the answers to yet, but as soon as we know, we'll be sharing them with you. Thanks, Jay.
Good morning, everyone.
First off, let me say I'm just humbled and really excited to be able to deliver the sunrise service on Easter morning. So I don't know if any of you have ever attended that service. I have not. So it's going to be a learning experience, and just humbled to be asked to fill in that capacity for Lakeview, and always just humbled to serve here. If you guys can hear me okay. So, well, my wife and I, we moved here in 2014 from Nashville. And on a spring Sunday morning, we walked through those doors just blindly and immediately fell at home here in Lakeview. We immediately fell in love with this family of Christ followers. Lakeview is and has always been a very special place with very dedicated and passionate Christ followers. As many of you know, Lakeview United Methodist Church has had a significant financial burden from an outstanding loan used for the construction of this facility. Over the years, Lakeview United Methodist Church has been unable to meet the monthly commitment to the lender. That lender, the United Methodist Foundation, has been graciously supportive of the leaders and the congregation of Lakeview United Methodist Church. Regardless of our inability to meet the obligations of the loan, the foundation continuously extended to us the opportunity to worship in this facility regardless of our financial standing. Several months ago, the foundation expressed a desire from Lakeview to, at the very least, express a plan or communicate a plan of how, if at all, we would address the debt and when. The reality of that question is ultimately we cannot support the loan repayment. And there is no realistic financial plan that addresses payback of the loan. While the foundation has continued to express their support and compassion, even in light of that reality, understandably, it is a very difficult position for them and their members as well. With no clear resolve and partnership with the foundation, Lakeview leadership has agreed to hold the final service on June 25th, 2023. And on June 30th, the foundation will take possession of this facility. As Christ followers, we know that our faith is in Him. We are the body of Christ, and there is nothing that our Father has not prepared us for. And there's nothing we cannot overcome with His love and grace. In Ecclesiastes, we are given this direction. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. This Lakeview family has been such a special place to me and my family. Inside these walls, myself, my wife, my family have gone beyond being Christ fans to being Christ followers. I have failed here and I have grown here. I have learned from all of you, and I have tried to give back. Personally, while I can understand how and why we are here today, I am heartbroken. But I and we are not without hope. Our faith isn't in a building. It is in our Father. Amen. Over the next 12 weeks, we might be tempted to fear or mourn or experience all of the things that Pastor Audie just spoke about. But instead, should we not celebrate? Christ calls us to be different. He calls us to demonstrate incomprehensible hope and faith in a fallen world. While our time here is ending, I personally find myself overwhelmed with just heartfelt gratitude and appreciation for the time here, for the relationships, and that I've had this season in my life at all. Over the next 12 weeks, it is currently planned that all church operations will continue. As plans develop around those days and weeks, Pastor Audie and team will communicate more. I hope that you will continue to worship here and enjoy this final chapter in the coming weeks. And I hope that you, like me, are just so very grateful and thankful that we had this time. I look forward to continuing to worship and spending time with each of you. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I'm just thinking folks may have questions, but I think today we'll just kind of bring it to a close. The people on the advisory committee are Jay, our lay leader, Lamar, Chairman of Trustees, Steve Sorrells, Kay Johnson, our staff parish chairperson, and Gloria Jackson, our finance chairperson. And there's one more. Who am I missing? Sandy. Yes, Sandy Watkins, our administrative board chair. I'll just ask them to kind of stay around after the service. If you have any questions you want to ask of them. Let me just say, as I mentioned earlier, and as Jay mentioned, that's the big announcement, that we're going to be vacating this building in 3 months. But there are other things to talk about that are still being worked out. And as soon as we have better plans, we'll be keeping you informed in the newsletter and on Sunday mornings as necessary. So feel free to ask any questions along the way. Let's stand together and be dismissed. Dear Father, thank you for this time that we've had today. Thank you for Lakeview's history, going back to the first United Methodist Pelham days over 100 years ago. We still carry the same mission that they had in mind, to make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And we've tried to be faithful to that mission statement. And we will continue to be in the weeks and months and in whatever the future has for us. So dismiss us today with your love and care. And we look forward to serving you as we leave here, as we go forward in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.